Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Good morning. Hello. Welcome. Come on in. Thanks for joining me this morning. I'm Jesse. This is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University. Excuse me. Today's program and all of CJSF's programming are produced on the unceded and ancestral lands of the Hulkamilam and Squamish speaking peoples, who have been here since a time before memory and have been telling stories and sharing knowledge and building community and experiencing community for a very long time. And I am very grateful and pleased to be able to continue to do some of that work in my own way here on these lands. Today on the program, we have a bunch of election coverage, of course, as well as a story from Nanaimo about Brant geese, which I'm very excited about, and a couple people might show up as well. We'll see what happens. But we are, of course, also going to sprinkle in some music, and as usual, as has become almost a ritual here on Tuesday and Thursday mornings on Speak Up for the last month or so since Sports Car Era was released by Devours, we are going to start off with a track from that record. This time, it's November.
In advance of Canada's April 28th federal election, CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby is presenting a series of interviews with the mayors of British Columbia's Lower Mainland. This series will give each a chance to share what they see as the most important issues for voters in their city, what they would like to see from members of Parliament elected within their municipality, and why this election is particularly important for their constituents. I'm Danny Nesvedarani, and in this interview, I speak with the mayor of the District of North Vancouver, Mike Little. In this interview, Mayor Little identifies housing and transit as two primary issues for the North Shore during this election. He also speaks on Canada's current trade relations and how he believes the federal government should navigate its current relations with the United States. Please take a listen.
I think the top issues would be housing and infrastructure, and it's where we hear it all day, every day, throughout our community. The infrastructure, including transit, highways, and some of the regional infrastructure, like the wastewater treatment plant. We need to sit down with our federal representatives and hammer out a better arrangement for delivering those kinds of civil infrastructure pieces. And that's going to require federal dollars being a significant component of building that infrastructure.
When you say federal dollars, I guess, how do you propose that the newly elected federal government provides that?
Well, they can have, they can really simplify it and just say, we're going to be a partner with you, one third with the feds, the province, and the municipalities on significant regional infrastructure. That way, when we're negotiating with the provincial government, we know that it's going to be matched, and we'll have the ability to produce the infrastructure that our communities needs. We're definitely in a deficit position in terms of producing infrastructure. Second Arrows Bridge just being one example. We haven't had a lane increase there since 1968. And to the North Shore in total, and that bridge is not meeting our needs now, let alone the growth targets that we have going forward into the future. And you see it every single day with lineups over 10 kilometers in either direction. It's a piece of infrastructure that needs to be addressed.
I guess one question I would have regarding housing is, when it comes to the District of North Vancouver specifically, I think one thing that is often brought up as a concern has to do with managing housing infrastructure with road infrastructure, so to make sure that the housing matches what is available in terms of, as you mentioned, say lanes on Second Narrows. So how do you hope the federal government sort of collaborates with the province and the municipal government of the District of North Vancouver in order to ensure that those needs are met, not just for housing, but also for road work as well?
Yeah, well, we definitely have a challenge in the North Shore where the market does want to produce new housing units on the North Shore, but they want to produce very premium products. And so if we don't have significant assistance from the provincial or federal government, then we're largely going to be making the problem worse. Instead of being able to get people who work on the North Shore to be able to live on the North Shore, we'll still be a bedroom community for downtown at a premium price. And that's going to exacerbate our bridge infrastructure even more. So we need the contributions from the federal government to be more significant. We recently did the Housing Accelerator Fund program with the federal government, and their initial proposal was that they were going to assist by $9,000 a housing unit, which barely even pays for the door. And so then they came back with a revision that would make it up to $27,000. Well, I got to tell you, they're not constructing it for under $300,000, so it's less than 10% off of market, even if there's no uplift on the construction cost. And so it's not actually going to be producing an affordability that will help us address the transportation problem. So the federal government needs to be a partner in a way that's actually going to address this affordability piece.
In the District of North Vancouver specifically, does that look like sort of a mixed model in terms of what sort of housing is being built and provided?
We're well underway to developing our town centers with mixed tenures, mixed sizes, mixed unit types. But again, if I'm left to the market, the municipalities have so few tools to create affordability that it costs me about 9 market units in order to be able to produce 1 affordable unit. And so without additional infrastructure or additional financial support from the province or the feds. And so I'm ostensibly making the traffic problem worse in order to be able to produce at 1 in 10 rate for an affordable unit. And it isn't working. It's not actually helping us solve the live close to where you work issue. The North Shore has actually been a very good producer of new jobs, and they're very well paid jobs. Most of our port positions are 6-figure jobs, but to start to buy housing on the North Shore, you have to have a pretty massive down payment, which makes it very hard for people to be able to get into the housing market unless they're being handed some capital through inheritance or something. And so we need a much more significant assistance from the provincial and federal government in order to make that new housing be in the affordable range.
Moving on from housing a little bit, with this federal election specifically, how would you say it's different from, you know, the previous federal election that you had served as mayor for? Would you say that some of the concerns you're hearing from residents of North Vancouver are a little different than last time?
Housing and transportation have been a generational issue on the North Shore, so it's spanned a few election processes. I would definitely say the relationship with the United States has changed the flavor of this year's election. And there's no question that we, you know, even though I haven't been a supporter of the government, I do think that one Team Canada approach to trade is critically important, because theoretically there's a time when you're going to resume and normalize trade between our countries, and you want to be able to untangle the web as quickly as you can in order to be able to support that. And so it's a challenge. Everybody out there wants us to take direct action against the United States, or and I don't know that that's the best strategy for correcting our trade relationship going forward.
Is what do you believe is best for addressing trade going forward?
Well, rule number one of a trade war is get out of the trade war. that's got to be your primary objective, is to get back to low barrier trade between our two countries. I've worked in trade, specifically lumber, for a very long time as my job outside of politics, and it's going to have a devastating effect on a lot of small towns that are single resource towns in British Columbia, and they're going to be very challenged to survive through this battle. We need to resolve it as quickly as we can and get back to low barrier trade between our countries.
Do you foresee that happening with the current administration?
Well, you're starting to see what voices the president will listen to. There's very few. Obviously, no Canadian voices enter into that. The last time we had a big trade war with the U.S. under the previous Trump administration, it took a year for the softwood lumber tariffs to be withdrawn. And it wasn't because of anything we were doing in Canada specifically. It was because some American lobbyists such as Home Depot and a number of senators from U.S. Republican states started lobbying, saying, hey, we actually like the cheap lumber from Canada. It's high quality and cheap, and you want to see our housing starts go up. Well, you got to unlock that access to Canadian lumber again. And so it's really going to be about supporting American voices to tell the story of why the Canadian product is better at a lower price and why they need unfettered access to it. That's how it was wound down last time, and I think the same pieces could be in play again this time.
You know, I think a big narrative around this election is having Canada become more independent as a result of this sort of unstable relationship that we're seeing with the United States. What is your stance on that?
That's only natural. We have, as a country, I got to say, we've vacillated a lot on this issue over the last 10 to 15 years. We had we came very close to a very comprehensive Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement that was going to give us sort of premium status into China for trade, and then we backed away and started being quite critical of the regime, and then we moved back again in favor of trade with China, and then back away. We kind of just need to settle down, and yes, we need to find other market access for our products other than relying entirely on the United States. But we need to be consistent in our approach to those partners because they felt fairly mistreated over the years as well. So I think that opening up Energy East and some of the connections to the both the production capacity the refining capacity in Eastern Canada and the market access through Eastern Canada is critically important for our energy resources. And it is of national significance. So it's got to rise above provincial barriers and be delivered. It's been something that's been talked about for a long period of time. We could have had it well underway. Instead, we are still waiting and trying to decide on the right way to address that issue. But if you want the Canadian product to not be subject to a subsidy entering into the United States, which it always has been, it's sold at a discount when it goes directly into the States. And you want to get a world market price, you have to get it to more ports and to more refining capacity. So I don't see why that's not job number one.
So I know that as mayor, one issue that you've talked about a lot has to do with public transit, specifically on the North Shore. And one question I had is if what you hope that the federal government does for public transit within the Lower Mainland and the North Shore specifically, because, you know, recently there was TransLink sort of sounding the alarm bells with their $600 million operations deficit, the federal government offering $1.5 billion, but that was going towards infrastructure. So how do you hope that, you know, going forward, the federal government addresses the need for public transit growth within the District of North Vancouver?
The region as a whole has been under a tremendous amount of pressure from immigration and pressure to produce housing, pressure to produce jobs that are relatively low barrier. But without transit, that won't work. And so that deficit that we're in, the structural deficit, is really about meeting our needs now, let alone dealing with the growth that's projected going forward. And it's kind of, to some degree, a holdover from the COVID years. When COVID hit, we saw a massive reduction in usage of the transit system. In fact, TransLink was bleeding about $75 million a month in 2020 when there was no fare box, there was no gas tax revenue, people weren't driving around as much. And so our two biggest revenue sources, our three biggest revenue sources, if you include the property, the parking tax regulation. So fare box, gas tax, and parking tax all dropped off a cliff. And we were facing $75 million a month in losses. And the province came along and backstopped us for the first year, recognizing that we were a very important part of the recovery plan. And in the second year, they backstopped us about half of what we needed. And then going forward, they've backed away from being a primary funder of TransLink, even though they expect us to not reduce service in areas that that, you know, we don't have a market case for the level of service that we have. They want us to keep that service in, but aren't willing to pay us to cover the losses of running that service that's not functioning. And so now we're sort of at a critical spot where we need the provincial government to make a long-term commitment to funding the operations, and we need the federal government to make a more significant contribution to developing capital going forward, to be able to build our SkyTrain extensions, to be able to do the necessary capital works to expand our bus rapid transit service. That's all going to require a partnership with the federal government. And when you cut the carbon taxes, which we had been fighting for those to become a TransLink revenue. Now those are even gone and a hole in your system, and so we've lost even the potential to argue for those funds to be transferred into TransLink. So It's a real big challenge being able to deliver efficient transit service on the North Shore. I'm sure lots of the users up at SFU see the challenges every day.
You mentioned the carbon tax there briefly. That has also been a big part of this election, the fact that, you know, it's not just been dropped federally, but provincially as well. Why do you think that is?
I got to admit, I was a bit surprised that they did that when they did that. I know that it was becoming a bigger federal issue as one of the defining differences between the Liberal and Conservative platforms. And so maybe the Liberals decided to remove it in order to be able to get rid of that as being a platform plank for the Conservatives. I don't actually know why the provincial government did what they did when they did it. They had just released the budget. They were projecting massive deficits for this year, over $9 billion, and then shot a $2.6 billion hole in the budget even further after that by canceling the consumer carbon tax. And so it's a mystery. I don't have a good answer for you. All I would say is that if we should venture into the carbon tax realm again, it should go into transit. I mean, that's the whole point, is get people out of their cars. Well, the only way you can get people out of their cars is providing them a fast and efficient and reliable transit service as an alternative. And instead, those monies did not go into transit. I think that was a big mistake.
We're nearing the end of the time that we have for this interview, but I guess one last thing I would like to ask you is if you have any other key concerns or issues that you hope are addressed this federal election for the District of North Vancouver.
We'd obviously like to see the federal government fund more of the regional infrastructure. At the same time, I absolutely recognize that they have to get a handle on the spending. Last year, we had $52 billion in new federal spending. And if you actually divide that up amongst all of our households, it's over $3,000 in new spending for every single household in the District of North Vancouver that they've committed to. And the province at $5.5 billion in new spending is at about the same ratio, about $3,000, $2,700 in new spending for every single household in our community. And then I'm sitting there as the local guy, and I'm talking about $125 to $165 as my range increase in municipal taxes. And I'm sitting there going, why do I bother? Why are we trying to keep our prices down when the province and feds are spending $6,000 per household in additional spending in my community, on behalf of my community? And we're there clipping the nickel trying to make everything work at a municipal level without raising people's property taxes. It's a very challenging situation. And I think the only way to solve it is to have to dig deep into what you've been adding as new spending with the federal government and go back to funding the core issues, transportation and housing. If it doesn't support transportation and housing, you should review why you're spending extra money in it.
That was my interview with District of North Vancouver Mayor Mike Little, outlining what he sees as the top priority issues for the District of North Vancouver's residents in the upcoming April 28th federal election. Stay tuned to CJSF 90.1 FM for more interviews in this series featuring mayors from other municipalities across the Lower Mainland. This interview would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca.
Volunteering at CJSF 90.1 FM is a great experience and is easy to get started. So I'll tell you a little bit about it in the hope that you reach out. As this station is run almost entirely by volunteers, you have a variety of ways to get active at CJSF. Every department can use a little bit of help. Arts and entertainment. Well, you can write and produce reviews, conduct interviews of local musicians, the music library, acquiring, organizing, reviewing, and compiling charts. Public affairs. Interviewing groups, attending events, recording lectures. Public relations. Postering, graphic design, and programming. You can host your own show or work on a collective. production, audio editing, and PSA building. And once you feel comfortable, you can even volunteer to help the volunteers. So volunteer with us at CJSF 90.1. Email us at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca.
Reporting from Coquitlam, BC, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1.